Hare Krishna. It is my profound honor and pleasure to be with you this evening. It was proclaimed by His Grace Gauranga Prabhu that tonight is the 150th Prerna Festival. Over approximately 15 years, at least 10 every year equals 150. It is a beautiful offering because it shows the power of consistency. Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita, Yapashayatmaka Budhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bahushaka Yanantascha Udhayob Yapashayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. The minds of those who are irresolute is many branched. A very inseparable aspect of determination is consistency. Our beloved guru and founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, he was especially grateful and pleased with dedication, with being able to depend on devotees to follow their path according to their abilities. Because everyone in this world has their strengths and weaknesses. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye jana paryubhashate tesham nitya bhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamya. Krishna tells in Gita that if we endeavor in a mood of taking shelter of him, then Krishna will preserve whatever little we have and carry what we lack. So that is an essential aspect of bhakti, is we, with consistency, with dependability, we earnestly try our best. If we're too good at what we do, we can become proud and begin to think, I am the doer, I am the controller, I am the proprietor and enjoyer. When we become infatuated by this false pride, then we're disconnected from Krishna's grace. And then whatever we do is relatively empty. It's a show. It appears, maybe to some, to be something very great, very spiritual. But unless Krishna's pleased, his potency, his presence, his grace is not present. Sam siddhir hari toshanam. Bhakti is the science of pleasing Krishna. When Krishna is pleased, he manifests his will through us. Krishna is all attractive. That is the meaning of Krishna. He's supremely attractive. He has all six opulences forever in its total fullness: beauty, strength, knowledge, wealth, fame, and renunciation. If anyone in this world has a little speck of a trace of these excellences, they become very famous, very popular, very attractive. Here in Mumbai, so many people are trying to be attractive and trying to be attracted. Yes? Even the most famous newspapers, you don't usually see old people being featured. People are attracted to youth, to beauty. People are attracted to power, strength, political power, athletic power, wealth. These are the heroes of the world. Just day before yesterday, was the disappearance day of Sri Rupa Goswami. Because Krishna teaches the world through his most close associates. Rupa Goswami, what was his values? He and his brother Sanatan, they had so much beauty. Their physical features were like unlike anyone in this world. They were so attractive. And they were young. As far as their power, one was the prime minister of an entire kingdom. The other was the home and finance minister. As far as wealth, the king shared all the property of the kingdom with these two brothers. What they were earning was unbelievable. They had huge properties. They lived in palaces, not flats. Not bungalows. Palaces. And whatever they would advise the king would be very receptive. And as far as their knowledge, people from all different directions would come whenever they would speak. They developed an assembly hall, a beautiful assembly hall, and created cottages, nice little homes for all the scholars, pundits, saints, and general people that would come. They would host them. They would have these symposiums based on philosophy, scripture, the greatest scholars of the whole area would come. Everyone would present, but no one could compare in the knowledge, the compassion, the humility of Rupa and Sanatan. And yet they were so respectful to everyone. Chaitanya Das, who was the father of Srinivasacharya, told his son when he was a little boy that he went to Ramakeli with his guru once to one of these conferences that was hosted by Rupa and Sanatan. He said they were effulgent. They were as beautiful as Kamadev. And when they spoke, they would mesmerize everyone with their knowledge, their insight, their realizations. But yet they were so humble. They welcomed everyone. And they were in the mood of being the sincere, humble servants, just trying to please everyone. Because realized knowledge is expressed according to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, when we see the presence of God within the heart of every living being. Mamaivamso jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Krishna tells every living being is part of me. The Paramatma is in the heart of everyone. And the individual jiva is Krishna's child. To the degree we actually love Krishna, which is the true fruit of all knowledge, to that degree we recognize Krishna in everyone's heart. A child of Krishna. So Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they were multi-billionaires in wealth. They were young, strong, beautiful, incredibly powerful and famous, and so learned. Yet, they humbly respected every living being because they actually had realized the truth. Krishna tells in Gita that when you have thus learned the truth, you will know that all living beings are in me, of me, and mine. So they had everything. They were loved, they were respected. Even apparent enemies, their hearts melted before them. But yet, when they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understood his mission, they decided to leave everything and go to Vrindavan. And they did. Rupa Goswami just told Sanatan, I'm going along with our brother Anupam. And Sanatan said, I can't really leave now because I have some responsibilities to the king I must fulfill. So Sanatan, because he was planning to go, the king put him in prison. One day he's the prime minister. The next day he's in an underground dungeon. And in those days, the prisons, he was literally chained to the wall. It's very savage. The idea was to intimidate him to get him to surrender. But he was surrendered to a higher cause, a higher purpose. And therefore he took the prison sentence as a blessing. It was a confirmation that I don't belong here. And somehow or other, with the help of Rupa Goswami, he escaped. Now he's gone from the prime minister to a convict. He's hiding. He's traveling through jungles until he reaches Vrindavan. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur offer this beautiful prayer. Grihe tako bhanne tako sata hari bole tako suke duke bulo nako padne hari nam koro re. You can be a grihastha, living with a wife, a husband, a family, working in an occupation, having a home. Or you can be a Goswami, living in this in the forest, or traveling around, or living in an ashram. But if you truly take shelter of the holy names of Krishna, by Krishna's grace, you will rise above all the happiness and the distress of this world, the dualities. The example of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami has been as much an inspiration to grihasthas, to family-oriented devotees, as it has been to sannyasis, brahmacharis, and sadhus. Because the lesson we learned for them is, what was their values? And we can assimilate these values in whatever particular field of life we're in. Samsudhira Haditoshana. What will please the Supreme Lord? When Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Rupa and Sanatana, when they left everything behind to live in simple loincloths in the forests of Vrindavan. They gave up their palaces to live under trees in the riverbanks and in the jungles. They gave up their fine foods to beg madhukar, house to house. And in Vrindavan in those days, they were very simple villagers. So you don't get so much when you beg from them. Here in Mumbai, sometimes begging could be a very high level. You know, you beg these big office buildings, Nariman Point. First you have to meet, you get through the security guards, then you meet the secretaries, then you have an appointment. And usually you're not going there to get some chipped rice. You're usually going to get something very sizable. But in Vrindavan, they were just simple people. They could give some chipped rice or some, they didn't even have chipped rice in Vrindavan in those days. Some roti flour. Sanatana Goswami, he would beg and get some coarse ground wheat flour. There were no mills. It was just ground by hand by the Brijavasis with two pieces of stone, just grind between the stones. And he'd mix a little water from the river Yamuna, make a ball, and put it in fire. And that was his food. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, he came to one Brahmin's house whose name was Kurma. And he was actually a very wealthy person. And Lord Chaitanya was so eagerly served by him and welcomed by him. And after Kurma washed his feet and literally offered his whole family to Lord Chaitanya, his wife, his children, he said, my whole family, all my forefathers and foremothers, everyone, my wealth, my fame, my knowledge, everything has attained its perfection today because you have come to bless our home. And you have come to accept to our service. Then he said, the waves of this ocean of material existence are causing me too much distress. I have decided I will leave my home and I will follow you wherever you go. He was really willing and ready to go. Now, Lord Chaitanya, he was traveling barefoot. In his South Indian tour, he never stopped in one place except for during Chaturmasi and Srirangam for more than a day or two. His only possessions was his japamala and an extra set of clothes and a begging pot, water pot. He said, I'm going with you. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there's no need for you to go. You should stay with your family. You should continue your occupation. But always chant the holy names of Krishna. Hear the glories of Krishna. And speak the message of Krishna to whoever you meet. And in this way, you will always be with me and I will always be with you. They spoke about Krishna all night, and the next morning Lord Chaitanya left. And Kurma just couldn't give up his association. He went with him. Lord Chaitanya sent him back home. So to Kurma Brahman, he sent him back home. To Rupa and Sanatan, they left home and went to Vrindavan. But the values of both were identical. They were both doing the will of the Lord by keeping Krishna in the center of their lives. They were not motivated by greed, by lust, by envy, by anger. They were motivated by seva, to serve, for the pleasure of Krishna. They live for the well-being of others. The six Goswamis were not just concerned with their own liberation. They were writing so many books. They were building so many beautiful temples. It wasn't for them. Radha Govinda Temple, Rupa Goswami didn't even live there. Even after building the most magnificent temple in all of North India, he still slept under trees. He built the temples for you and for me, for the well-being of the para upakar, for the well-being of all beings. Madan Mohan Temple was built by Sanatan Goswami for us. They went to Vrindavan to be instruments of Lord Chaitanya's compassion for all beings throughout the world. They were excavating holy places. They didn't need to do that. Krishna was revealing to them the holy places. They could just be happy being there, but they were excavating so people from all over the world, for all time to come, could actually experience Krishna's pastimes in a very special way. Para Upakar. And similarly, Kurma Brahman. Lord Chaitanya told him, just chant the holy names of Krishna and speak this message of Bhagavad Gita, of Harinam Sankirtan to others and be guru. And he did, with his wife, with his children, with his parents, as a grihastha. They had the same values. These are the examples that are given to us. When This morning we were speaking from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therein we find Krishna arranged by his own inconceivable will a way in which the Yadu dynasty, his own family, was going to depart from this world. It is explained that at that time, after Krishna already arranged this curse of Brahmins upon the Yadu dynasty, Lord Brahma, Shiva, Indra, and various devas, demigods, they came to Dwarka to see Krishna's personal form. And they prayed to him. They said, "We prayed to you to come to this world to relieve the burden of so many demoniac kings. We prayed that you would reestablish the true principles of religion. And you have done all that. And not only that, but you have performed such wonderful transcendental pastimes that anyone in the coming Kali Yuga and forevermore that simply remembers these pastimes, speaks about these pastimes, hear these pastimes, and glorifies you and your names will attain the ultimate liberation. So you have done everything according to your mission. Now please, my Lord, if it pleases you, go back to your eternal abode. You've done everything. Thank you." After they left, Uddhava, Krishna's dearest friend in Dwarka, his constant associate, he came and bowed his head at Krishna's lotus feet because he could see everything that was happening. Uddhava could understand that that Krishna had just before, he saw there were so many inauspicious signs that were arranged by Krishna. He told the members of the Yadu dynasty, "You should all go to Prabhaskshetra. It's a very holy place. Whoever goes there becomes purified. So there's so many inauspicious things. You've all been cursed, so you should go there and do some yajnas." So they were all on their way, and Uddhava could see everything that was about to happen. He was in a mood of such urgency. His whole dynasty and family, they were about to start fighting with each other. He didn't want to see that. And even worse, Krishna was going to leave this world. He didn't want to be in this world without Krishna. He was begging Krishna, "If you're going to leave, take me with you. I just want to go back home, back to Godhead with you. I don't want to be in this miserable world without you. The only value of this world is in your loving service." It was in this state where Uddhava, like Arjuna was in a very, very difficult situation. He saw two armies of relatives about to be fighting with each other. He didn't want to be a part of it. Karpanya dosopa hatasva bhava. He approached Krishna in a state of great desperation. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. he approached Sukadeva Goswami in a great sense of urgency. And here Uddhava, he was in more urgency than both of them because he loved Krishna so much. He was with Krishna day and night, and now Krishna's going to leave the world to be left behind. He was begging Krishna for direction, for kindness. And in that state, Krishna spoke the Uddhava Gita. Krishna sent Uddhava to Badrikashram. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that Krishna was thinking, I lived in Vrindavan and reciprocated love with all my devotees there, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, the calves, all the kalpavriksha trees, the peacocks, everyone. We had the most beautiful, intimate leelas together. And I lived in Mathura and Dwarka. I went to Mithila. I went to Kurukshetra. I lived in Dwarka. I went and visited Mahavishnu. I met Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra. So many things, so many places. He said, but in Badrikashram, there are great devotees, paramhamsas, who have been longing for my association. But now it's time for me to leave. And I haven't yet gone there to satisfy their desires. So he instructed Uddhava in the Uddhava Gita, surcharged him with his grace, with his love, and with his knowledge, and told him, you go to Badrikashram. Because when one associates with those devotees who love me, who hear the knowledge of my devotees, they are directly in my association. Krishna gave Uddhava something even more than going back to Godhead. He gave him a service by which he could please Krishna. Service in separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one of his dearmost friends, Lokanath Goswami, along with Rupa and Sanatan, they wanted so much to be with Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, you stay in Vrindavan because that's where you could serve me the best. And they never saw him again directly. The wives of the Yajnik Brahmins, when they came, they surrendered everything. They left their families to bring prasad to Krishna and Balaram. And when they saw the beauty of Krishna, he was just on bank of Yamuna in a little clearing in the forest. His complexion was dark like a monsoon rain cloud. His clothes were brilliant gold like lightning. He had a wonderful garland of wild flowers and leaves that extended below his knees. There were minerals of the ground of Vrindavan that were decorating the various limbs of his body. His wonderful, beautiful hair was curling around his moon-like cheeks. His lips were like the bimba fruit. His eyes were like fully blossomed lotus petals. One of his arms was leaning upon the shoulder of a Gopa, one of his friends, and his other hand was twirling a lotus flower. Draped over his ears were fragrant lilies, flowers. When they saw the beautiful form of Krishna, they took that rupa in, through their eyes into their hearts, the very core of their hearts. And there in the core of their hearts, Krishna was embracing them and they were embracing Krishna. While they were just standing a little distance away. Amazing, because they never met Krishna, they never saw him before. But when they would go to buy flowers or fruits at the market, the Brijavasis who happened to come there to sell their goods, they were always talking about Krishna, about his pastimes, about the beauty of his form, his character, his qualities, his loving, smiling relationship with devotees. Just by hearing about Krishna, they surrendered their lives to him. And that surrender, its spirit is to serve. Whatever they did for Krishna's satisfaction. And here Krishna's reciprocating. He sent his little friends to say, Krishna's nearby. And they came running with everything good that they had to offer him. Krishna welcomed them with such a sweet smile of love. He said, it is very appropriate. You've surrendered everything. You've left everything to come to me. But you have your duties at home, so you should go home. After all, your husbands are doing yajnas. They need your help. And what will people say? They were brokenhearted. Why do you want to send us home? You promised that you give your devotees all shelter when they surrender. We have surrendered everything for you. They won't even let us back. Krishna said, they will let you back. But please know, and he's speaking not only to them, but to all people at all times, it's not by physical proximity with me that you develop love for me. It's by pleasing me. By hearing my glories, my pastimes, by chanting my names, by worshiping the deities, by meditating upon me. Through practicing this path of bhakti, in separation, that is how you will fully attain. I will give the highest love. And you will feel my presence always. They were so humble. They were pleading, we won't even be with you directly. You have wonderful, loving pastimes with gopis and your friends. It will just be a little distance away. And the tulsi leaves that are upon your lotus feet, when they fall from your feet, and they're trampled on by the gopis and gopas, we will collect them and keep them on our heads. And we will just serve you from a distance. This was their mood of service. They didn't want they're the wives of the highest gurus, the Brahmins of the area. But they're longing just for even the most menial opportunity to serve. Krishna taught them real services to please me. And I'll be pleased if you go home and assist your families very nicely. And they did. And they attained the same type of perfection that the gopis did too. Of course, the gopis got to dance all night with Krishna, but they had to go home also. Krishna reciprocates with the sincerity of our intentions. The path of bhakti is to fully immerse ourselves in remembrance of Krishna. As Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, he wanted to give an example how on this journey within, on the path of life, as we become absorbed in seeking to please Krishna, to know Krishna, to love Krishna, Krishna reveals himself in so many ways. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was grihastha. His son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, was crest jewel of sannyasis. But they were both perfectly situated as acharyas, teaching the world how to love Krishna perfectly. Thakur Bhaktivinoda explains, that some people, when they hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, they hear it, they learn it, they memorize it, but there's no transformation in their lives. And other people, they don't have faith. They don't accept it. They don't even want to hear it. Actual hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not meant to memorize. It's meant to reflect. Whatever we learn, it transforms our values, where we rise above all selfishness, all greed, all false sense of proprietorship. We don't want to be famous. We don't want to become wealthy. We don't want to just know. We want to serve. We want to love. That's what it means to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And real service requires a spirit of continuity. For a pujari on the altar, Krishna's depending on us to come at the right time, to dress him, to bathe him, to feed him. He doesn't need us, because ultimately whatever we're giving, we're getting from him. But he's assuming that role for our benefit. And Srila Prabhupada, one of the qualities that he appreciated most, and this is a quality that all great spiritual teachers, mentors, value so dearly, is when our service is dependable and there's continuity in good times and hard times. That's how we actually make spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada told, our spiritual progress is dependent upon how we take responsibility in our service to Krishna. Responsibility is like that. A responsible father, a responsible mother, a responsible guru, a responsible disciple. Their service is not based on the conditions around them. Matra sparashastu konte asitos na sukadukada agama payanonit yastams tetikshas paparita. May be cold, it may be hot, may be pleasure or pain, success or failure, easy or difficult. But we remain fixed in the path of trying to serve. When our sadhana is dependable, when our service to the mission is dependable, when our Vaishnava qualities are consistent, even when there's temptation or fear, honor or dishonor. That's what it means to take responsibility. That's what really pleases Krishna. So many of you are students here in this great city of Mumbai, where there are many distractions, many alternatives. But we learn from Rupan Sanatan Goswami, from the Kurma Brahman, we learn from Uddhava, we learn from the Brahmin's wives, we learn from each other. What are the values that we should live for? What are the values that we should integrate and harmonize in every aspect of our lives? Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. What is the goal? It is important in the association of devotees through sadhu sangha, satsang, that we develop faith that there is a true goal in life. And I'm not this body. I'm the eternal soul. Krishna told Uddhava we could learn this from the moon. The moon is waxing and waning. There's Amavasya, which we call no moon or dark moon. This quarter moon, half moon, three quarter moon, Purnima, full moon. But actually, the moon is always full. It's not that the moon is changing, it's our perception of the moon that's changing. According to reflections on it, it appears different. So similarly, the soul is always eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. The soul is always part of Krishna. But the appearance is we're born, we're babies, we're children, we're teenagers, we get married, start having children, then we have grandchildren. And we're getting old, and then we die. It's like Amavasya. Doesn't appear there's any moon that night. First, we're dead.
But actually, there's still a full moon. We're still fully alive, as much as we were when we were born and when we were dancing at Radha Gopinath Temple as teenagers in Prerna. So we are the eternal soul. And what is the jiva dharma? What is the true dharma of the soul? Bhaktya tvananya shakyam aham evam vidurjana. The true dharma of the soul is to render loving service to the Supreme Soul. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hoksha jaya haitakiya pratihata yagatma supraseded. The supreme dharma, the highest religion, the highest spiritual path, the highest occupation is to render loving service to the transcendent Lord within our hearts, within the hearts of all living beings. Who is the one God, who's the supreme source of everything that exists. And to serve with love. So Prerna, it has many different aspects. There's videos, there's kirtans, there's all sorts of different speakers. Some make you laugh, some make you cry. Some make you sleep. Sometime you get an incredible feast with gulab jamuns and halava and sabjis and puris. Sometimes you get khichdi. The purpose of Prerna is to help young people in ages where at an age where we're really naturally looking for where we want our life to go, to establish our lives in this true Sanatan Dharma, the true Dharma of the soul. Yes, I am the eternal soul. Jiveta Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. My nature is to eternally love Krishna and to serve Krishna in whatever we do, wherever I am, whoever we're with. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. And in this age of Kali, an ocean of faults, there's this great benediction that we could always be connected with Krishna by hearing about him and by chanting his glories and his names. Such a benediction. Whether we're riding on a bus or a train or we're walking or we're in our office or we're at our home or we're in the ashram, whether it's the heat of the summer, the humidity of the monsoons or the freezing colds of the winter, wherever we may be, Krishna is in our heart, waiting to reveal himself to us. And he's giving himself especially in his holy names. So please, it is our sincere request. Live for the well-being of others. Receive the mercy of the Supreme, of Sri Krishna. Through your association, through your spiritual practice, and whatever your occupation may be, whatever your varna or ashram may be, reflect the
the grace of Krishna that you're receiving for the well-being of others. And that is truly the path of joy. A joy that is not determined by the ever-changing circumstances of this world. A joy that is beyond this temporary body and mind, beyond death. Thank you very much.